Elaine and Simon McKenzie are the husband and wife team behind a new family-friendly city guide brand called Urbanito. While traveling with their children, the Scottish duo discovered a lack of smart and stylish travel guides that catered to curious kids as well as their parents. So they decided to make one themselves. This is Eureka on Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, Simon and Elaine share their story.
I'd been living in Hong Kong for many years and then France, and I'd come back to Scotland to, I don't know, just come home, I suppose, and moved to Glasgow. I was running a fashion accessories company. I started a very small startup then and was living in Glasgow, moved into a small flat, and Simon was actually my neighbour, bizarrely. And that's how we met. We were living in the same place, opposite each other in our flats, and we met then, and the rest
well,
is history.
Well, the bit you're missing is that you were running that business and you'd been let down by your accountant.
Yes.
And you had to file your company accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running a business at that time, a small biotech. My next door neighbour said, did I know anything about accounts? And I thought, well, how hard can it be? Excel file. And she handed me two supermarket bags full of receipts. And that was a solid week's worth of work to get the accounts together. And then I guess things moved on from there. So I have been in biotech for 20 plus years, and initially it was the science that really got me going. And then working with a number of Japanese companies, I was asked to set up a business with them. And then that moved on to actually being asked to move to Tokyo to work for a Japanese pharmaceutical company. And there it was less about the science and more about trying to understand what people wanted, trying to find interesting opportunities and to build something from that, whether it was a business, whether it was an interesting drug. And it was that building side of things and the talking to people, understanding what their needs were, what their motivations were, that really got me going.
Like Simon was saying, we were offered an opportunity to live in Tokyo, and our children were young. And so while Simon was busy working out the work side of that, it was left to me to think about how we were going to live there with two young children. I travelled to Tokyo many times for work before, so I knew the cool Tokyo, if you like. But thinking about taking two young children there was a completely different thing. So I started looking around at what was on the market, what could I find that would allow us to have the life that we enjoy doing. You know, I knew it was out there in Tokyo. There's loads of really good guides, but nothing specifically that targets families like the wallpaper or the, you know, Monocle city guides even. Once you have children, you know, it's really hard to find that similar thing for families. And we just knew we still want to live that life, but we have two young children and we want to visit, we want to travel. It's, you know, important to us that our children travel, but we want to go and explore them like locals. We don't want to hop from one landmark to another and stand in queues for 2 hours. And so when we started looking at Tokyo, it was very clear there wasn't anything.
Talking to other people, you start to get that feeling that it's not just us. They're all talking about how long it takes to research. When they were single, when they were couples, they all loved going to cities, but now they don't because it's expensive. You can't control the weather, you can't control your children's energy levels or attention span. So your plans, your itinerary is going to be disrupted by these people that you're with. So that makes it really challenging for people to go. And you think, well, these people do want to go. There is a market. How big can this market be? Talking it through, we thought, well, we like cities, we should test it ourselves. So we went and stayed in Paris for a while over summer. And there we tested out some of the background material that Elaine had found out, and we found that it worked. Putting that together, you think, how big could this be? What could be done about it? Starting to talk to designers. And from there, I could see that there was that potential opportunity. And then our view was partly, it's great to talk about something, but if you don't execute, what's the point? You can have a great idea and we can talk about it for the next 5-10 years. We either try it or we stop talking about it.
We bought Photoshop for the computer and I taught myself how to use Photoshop purely to put together my vision, I guess, because I knew to talk to art workers and professional designers, they would need to really understand how I saw it working. And I'd sketched out and had a good layout. And from there, we started going out and talking to designers. We did consider going to a publisher. I think initially it was going to be a book, and we looked into publishers and actually realised that we really wanted to control the brand. And if we'd given our brand, if you like, to a publisher, you know, they could control what we were then able to do. And we have always had a bigger vision of what we'd like the brand to be. So once we had the initial design layout, we started talking to printers ourselves. And it was very challenging because, one, we're a startup, we have very limited budget, and they just didn't take us seriously. They really didn't. And a lot of people kept saying, "You're crazy, print's dead," that classic story, you know. And we just couldn't find the right partner from a printer's perspective, locally where we were in Scotland, who took us seriously enough to create it.
Talking to people in Scotland, they weren't interested in the quality, and they saw the size of or the scale of our business as not being interesting to them. So we found a print consultant who was helpful in finding us a printer in Southeast England who believed that they could print or to the quality that we wanted with the technical specifications that we wanted as well. Unfortunately, we ran through two print runs with them, and at the end of the second print run, they hadn't achieved the technical specification that we'd been promised. And it was discussed at that point, this was as good as it could be, so we either accepted what had been delivered or we wouldn't be able to have the product that we had envisaged and designed and worked. We wondered what we could do. Was it true that actually the guide as it was, we would have to accept? The point though, and I think it came often, was you have to believe your gut feeling. Elaine had sold from our previous business into high-end retailers and knew that the buyers would look at the product and say, potentially we like this product, but the quality's not quite right. So we had one of those moments where you think, we've come to a wall. Is it time to stop or do you keep going? And it just so happened, as a bizarre story, Elaine remembered an article in Monocle magazine about a Paris printer who were really high-end, high-quality. Of course, we thought they're not going to be interested in us at all. Elaine phoned the London rep of this print company, and because of the sales trips that we'd booked with nothing to sell, we were going to Paris the next week. They agreed to meet. We went. They were absolutely fantastic. They bought into what it was we were looking for. We showed them the issues that we had. They said, we will produce that. We understand exactly where you're going. And it became that collaborative process, which we'd missed up until that point. And that again felt that we'd got over the wall to move to the next step.
I think when you find that partner in a business where your skills are lacking or it's a different industry, to find that collaborative partnership, it can just flip everything. So for us then, for them to deliver and to see it and to have it in our hands and it boxed up, and it's just a really amazing moment because it's been 3 years of really hard work. So to finally see that there is a positive end to that was really amazing, really, really amazing. And yeah, I think we felt quite proud. We felt quite proud that we'd done that. But we realised then that was just the start of what really was the real journey.
Simon and Elaine McKenzie, founders of the family-friendly city guide brand, Urbanito. Eureka's back next Friday. But before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This episode was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.